morning, everybody. Do please be seated. Just hang on a moment. There's a couple more people coming in. Welcome to our worship this morning. Slightly different circumstances. I'm sure you're all aware that the heating in the sanctuary is not working at the moment. Having just become working, it's now not working again. So we're up here for the moment. And I've been told to let you all know that we may be up here, but we are going to be up here for the next few weeks for worship, just to be on the safe side until we know that the part has arrived, and the heating has been mended and is actually working sufficiently. I'd like to thank everybody who did come and help to set up in here yesterday. I kind of joked to both Martin and Phil this morning, because when I left midday yesterday, they were still here, and when I got here early this morning, they were still here. So I said, you know, had you been camping last night? To try and get all the tech stuff sorted out, but please do bear with us if we do have any tech issues this morning. And special thanks to everybody that came yesterday, particularly to Mark, to Adrian, and to Phil for all the work that they did yesterday. The car registration form is over by the door if anybody hasn't filled it in, and also there are the collection plates over by the door as well. There are large print versions of the hymns available if anybody does need them. It could be that you're sitting behind somebody who's rather tall and you can't see, so do please go and fetch one from the table over by the door. It's my great pleasure this morning to welcome the Reverend Romeo Pedro, who is the superintendent of the Northampton Methodist Circuit and who's preaching for us this morning and leading communion. So thank you very much, Romeo, and I will hand over to you.
Thank you, Catherine. Good morning, everybody. It is always great to be with you and to share with you in worship. I am aware, are there people worshiping with us on Zoom as well? And a special word of welcome to them. We part of this congregation that I would, you know, say is a congregation without walls. Listen, reaching beyond this place, and even beyond time, isn't it? Because after today, people will be watching it during different times of the day. And so, if there's one thing I'm really grateful for about this pandemic, is that it has broken down the boundaries of time and space, and sometimes I feel quick enough to grasp. And I want to commend you here at Kingston for taking the opportunity and allowing yourselves not just to be challenged by us, but to grab the opportunity for the sake of the gospel. Can we give ourselves just a little bit of a hand for that? So, people of God, we are called to worship the name above all names. We worship. Let's do that as we sing together from Songs of Fellowship. Come on and celebrate, and we'll sing that twice. Let's sing together. Thank you. Please be seated, friends. And I've asked Penny to help me with this next exercise for our prayer of confession. And I don't know about you, but I do things and think things and say things that make me personally very, very sad. And I'm sure it makes other people sad. But above all, it must make God very sad when I say these things or do these things. You know, sometimes I'm in a meeting, somebody's really difficult and I want to just lose it and tell them what I think of them. And I think that that kind of reaction, sometimes while it's natural to get angry, but some of the reactions must really make God sad. Now let's just, I want us to just list a few things that I think that we do that make God feel sad. If you just shout it out. Yeah. Sarcasm. Yeah. Anything else? What's that? Unkindness. Getting angry. I think sometimes it's not so much the anger, but what you do with the anger, isn't it? That's the issue. Yes. Yeah. Your facial expressions, I'm guilty of that. My wife always says to me that sometimes the facial expression says it before you actually, before it comes out of your mouth. Anything else? Impatience. So, yeah, especially when we drive, isn't it? Anything else? Worry. Yeah. We know the old saying, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't take you anywhere. Yeah. But anything else? Yeah, forgetting things, especially when you give your word to somebody, right? And you forget to do the thing that you said. Anything else? Doubting. Have you got rudeness there? Selfishness is another one. Not spending time with God. Are we too fast for you, Penny? Not spending time with God. Let's say the last one. Jealous. Now, there may be lots more. And I want to invite you to just, maybe you don't have the, you don't want to say that now, but it's in your mind. If you could just take a moment to say that thing that you think God makes God very sad when you do it. Just say it in your heart for a moment. And then I'll offer you prayer. Shall we do that? So for all the times we make you feel sad, we want to say sorry. For the times we lie and cheat. For the times when we are angry and grumpy. For the times when we are rude and naughty. For the times when we deliberately disobey. For the times when we are selfish or unkind. And for all those things that we have listed here today, we want to say sorry. loving. I'm going to ask Benny to just wipe those things here, whichever way would be easier for you. She's going to wipe it all. You see, when we say we are sorry to God, He forgives us and He wipes away our wrongdoing. He wipes away our wrongdoing and He gives us an opportunity to make a fresh start. Jesus said, listen, this is the good news. Those who hear my message and let it grow in their hearts and minds, keep on living and loving until they bear good fruit. This is the good news. Amen. Thank you. So we're going to, we're going to have our readings now. Wonder what is happening now. Thank you, my brother. So the readings are from Daniel chapter 7 and John chapter 18.
The reading is Daniel. While I was looking through the temple, one of the living friends sat down on one of the thrones. His clothes were white as snow, his hair was like a human wood. His throne mounted on fiery wheels and blazed with fire.
Won't you tell us? And a stream of fire was pouring out from it. There were many thousands of people there to serve him, and millions of people stood before him. The court began its session, and the books were opened. During this vision in the night, I saw what looked like a human being. He was approaching me, surrounded by clouds, and he went to the one who had been living forever and was presented to him. He was given authority, honor, and royal power, so that the people of all nations, races, and languages would serve him. His authority would last forever, and his kingdom would never end. Amen.
In John chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. Pilate went back into the palace and called Jesus. Are you the king of the Jews? He asked him. Jesus answered, does this question come from you, or have others told you to talk about me? Pilate replied, do you think I am a Jew? It was your own people and the chief priests who handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus said, my kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish authorities. No, my kingdom does not belong here. So Pilate asked him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. I was born and came into the world for this one purpose. To speak about the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth listens to me.
Thank you. Apologies to the technical people and the musician. I skipped something, but that's all right. That's fine. we are going to sing number 379, Majesty, Worship His Majesty. Let's sing together, Majesty, Worship His Majesty. Just a moment. Right, let's, maybe that is why the first happened, you know, so let's sing number 298. Number 298, have you got that one? Jesus' name above all names, which was supposed to be somewhere at the beginning. Have you got that? Ah. Yeah. You don't have that either. There we are. Let's sing Jesus' name above all names, and we'll sing it twice. These things happen. 298. God has forgiven us. I'm sure you can find it in your heart to forgive this little slip up. Now, I want to reflect a little bit with you on John chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. But I think it is important to begin here, today. This week is the last of the liturgical year. It's the last week of the church year. Next week, we begin a new cycle on the church calendar, which begins with Advent Sunday, right? But before we get there, before we get to Advent, I think it was in 1925, when the then Pope declared this Sunday before Advent to be Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King. A time to reflect one last time on the church calendar on who this Jesus is that we serve. And what following Jesus means to us. And we've been doing that since then. This last Sunday of the liturgical year always focuses on the reign of Christ, on the reign of Jesus Christ. And this Sunday always seeks to remind us that Christ is a monarch. The monarch of a different kind. Monarch who rules over a realm of a very different kind, a realm that has no boundaries, a realm that is not stopped by denominational boundaries, or the boundaries of country, time, space. Now, through the scriptures, we see what I would call a growing awareness of what it means to call Christ king or monarch. Now, when it's difficult to do this kind of thing, but when our children were small, it's difficult because Methodist ministers move every 5 years or 9 years. But when our children were small, we had the opportunity to live in our own house. And when they were growing, every year behind the kitchen door, we would mark, you know, how they've grown. And even when we painted the house, we would leave that as well. And often when we go home now, we would look at them and see how they've grown. And suddenly I have this image of my son who, you know, who had to be induced at his birth. It was quite small. And suddenly it's much taller than me. So, but, you know, I see the way in which the scriptures develop in a similar way, the way people understand God in a similar way. You know, you read through the Bible and you can clearly see how you can see the markers on people's understanding of God. And particularly their growing awareness of what it means to call Christ king. In the early parts of the Old Testament, God's reign was seen as very much like human empires, but bigger and more powerful. So you often have stories in the early parts of the Old Testament where there's an enemy nation, right? And then there is God's people, and they fight, and it's usually the stronger nation in their understanding on which side God was, that wins this battle and then establishes something new, something bigger, something more powerful. The dominant idea in the Old Testament passages is that God destroys God's enemies, right? God crushes all opposition in order to create a world of justice and a world of peace. Now, in Jesus, the reign of God is revealed to be very different. It's revealed to be peaceful, merciful, compassionate, and just. Yes, evil is confronted in Jesus, but always from a place of love for the enemy. Right? Can you see the difference? And God's reign in Jesus is proclaimed as the ultimate authority that will overcome all others, but not through violence or destruction. Rather, through the cross. The cross that is sacrificial, serving, loving the way. One of the first that as Christians, often the cross was used in the Crusades, much to our shame, is a symbol of power. It's oppressed, oppressed, destroyed. This is not the message of the cross we receive in the moment. Today, we get a little bit of a glimpse of that through the interaction between Jesus and Pilate in the text that we've read from John chapter 18, which is, of course, the trial of Jesus. Now, Jesus is facing death here, but he is confident and is dignified. Now, Pilate, on the other hand, he holds all of the earthly power, but he's afraid of the religious leaders. He's afraid of Caesar. He's afraid of the consequences should a rebellion break out. Listen, friends. So you have these two images of kingdom here. Pilate on the one hand, Jesus on the other hand. Pilate has given himself human power, but he has gained joy, peace, and security. And as he questions Jesus, he tries to discern whether Jesus poses a threat to Rome or not. In the end, although he is unable to find any real reason to condemn Jesus, the pressure of all the political forces leads him to send Jesus, to sentence Jesus to death. Now listen, this is important. Yet, even the death of Christ was powerless to stop the progression of the kingdom. Powerlessness. Power. Power wanting to use all of its political clout to suppress. There's no joy, no security, no peace. Seemingly powerless. But marching on to establish the reign of God. Notice how Jesus describes the reign of God. He says, it is not an earthly kingdom. It is not of this world. This does not mean, my friends, that it's a realm that exists in some otherworldly dimension that we can only access after we die. Rather, it means that it's a completely different order from human empires. Human empires base itself on power. Human empires dominate and destroy. The reign of Christ heals and uplifts. And I sometimes wonder about denominationalism, what it really reflects. Does it reflect this which we see here in Pilate? Wanting to build power base. Does it reflect something about the reign of God which heals and uplifts? This realm, this reign of God that we talk about, it is a kingdom of power sharing, a kingdom of empowering the weakest and the most vulnerable. You only have to look at Jesus to see that. Where did Jesus find himself most of the time? Not in the palaces, but on the periphery, on the sidelines, amongst those that had no voice, amongst those that were vulnerable. That is where he found himself. Uplifting them, loving them. It's a kingdom in which generosity. I want to write this. Can you please help me? You just write those words there for us to replace the ones that we've wiped too. Generosity. Compassion. Sharing. Sacrifice. Anything else you want to add? Love, above all, love. Can you just make a huge cross? Just any way you want it to. This kingdom, this way, is a realm that exists now. And the world, I think, looks at us to see what that kingdom might look like. Now, when I say that, I must admit, I think that was a long way. It's a realm that exists now, reflected in us, in the midst of human power systems, and it's a realm to which everyone is invited. I want to conclude. I want to ask you this question. How long have you been worshiping together now? Nearly 6 years? The question is this. Wonderful. There's something there about that kingdom. About us embracing each other in generosity. The question I want to ask this, I want to end this question. For us, as Methodists and Baptists worshiping together here, how can we embrace this heavenly kingdom in our life together? How can we embrace this heavenly kingdom in our life together? I'm going to answer that. I will leave that with you as you continue to discern what that means. Let us pray. Amen. We're going to offer our prayers of intercession now, and I want to make it as simple as possible. I thought about this because our prayers can be really wordy at times. And I wondered whether we could this morning identify names and situations that we want to pray for. I will write them. Sorry, Penny. Do you want to come again? Penny's going to write them where the cross is. Just the names. Don't wipe it. Just write it where the name, where the cross is. Any names? I want to offer one name to somebody. You don't have to say any. Please don't say anything about their situation. Just the name of the country, the institution, or the person you want to pray for. The name I want to offer is spelled like this, GIODELIO. GIODELIO. Anybody else? Any names? George. Any other names? Irene. Penny, you've got to be fast, my sister. Irene. Sarah. It doesn't matter, just write it there. There we are. June and Salome. Edwina and Kevin. Yes. A D. One last chance. Steve and Chad Hospital. Right. I know there may be other names as well. What I want us to do now is in our own space. I use my hands to pray. Sometimes I do this. Sometimes I do this. Sometimes I do this. 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 Whichever is comfortable for you. If you could choose a name there. Choose a name that you think you can pray for. Not just now, but this week. You got the name. Now, if you could simply in your heart say the words, God, our King, I pray for Irene. Right? Let's do that and then I'll conclude with the prayer. God, our King, we pray for George, Irene, Sarah, June, Salome, Edwina, Kevin, the Chad Hospital, Giodili, Adeleye, Steve, and all the other people and places in our hearts here today. We pray, help us to show them generosity, compassion. Help us to share what we have with them. Help us to sacrifice ourselves for their sake. Above all, help us to show your love. We bring these prayers to you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we sing number 493 as we prepare to sit at the Lord's table. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. That's fine. Let's sing that verse. Outside of the boundaries of this wall will see us in all our imperfection today, and you know, just like everybody else. So if you can remain standing, please do. If you can't, please feel free to sit. We are going to use a very traditional form of the communion liturgy today, but in three languages. Those who have the hard copy, the translations are. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God our Maker.
It is right to give you praise.
O powerful and ever-living God, it is indeed right, it is our joy and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ. You created all things and made us in your own image. When we had fallen into sin, you gave your only child to be our Savior. Jesus shared our human nature and died on the cross. Jesus was raised from the dead and exalted to your right hand in glory, where he lives forever to pray for us. Through Jesus, you have sent your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us your people, your royal priesthood, to stand before you to proclaim your glory and celebrate your mighty acts. And so, with all the company of heaven, we join in the unending hymn of praise. Holy, holy, holy God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest. Ons roep u God, heerser van die heelal, Heer Jesus Christus, wat in die nag met raaiers die brood geneem, dank het gebreek aan sy disciples gegee en gesê het, neem eet, dit is my lichaam wat vir julle gegee word, doen dit tot my gedagtenis. Net so ook na die ete het hy die beker geneem, gedank dit aan hulle gegee en gesê, drink almal daaruit, dit is my bloed van die Nuwe Testament wat vir julle en vir baie tot vergifnis van sonde uitgestort word. Doen dit, so dikwels as julle daaruit drink, tot my gedagtenis. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Grant that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we who receive your gifts of bread and wine may share in the body and blood of Christ. Make us one body with Christ. Accept us as we offer ourselves to be a living sacrifice, and bring us with the whole creation to your heavenly way. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Through him, with whom, in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, from all who dwell on earth and in heaven throughout all ages. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in the one. Jesus. Vahana katiko, Jesus is on Zen Shabbati, Zen Zeneba. O Lamb of God, O Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, give us your peace. This is his blood shed for us. We drink, drink, and we remember. And say together, we thank you, loving God, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. And we sing, from heaven you came, helpless babe, while the cups are being collected. From heaven you came. Since not so long ago, developed this practice of asking just before the benediction to the congregation, in a word or two, what are you taking away from this service? Anybody? Anyone? What are you taking away from this service today? togetherness, peace. Sorry? Hope and love. Forgiveness. Sharing, serving others. Gratitude. Others' needs before my own. Thank you. So friends, and I know there must be a lot more than that. I am asking you to go out into this world and to represent all of that which you have mentioned here. In this kingdom that is without boundaries, that transcends denominationalism, nationality, language, and all other things that keep us apart. Go and be representatives of Christ the King. Amen. And we say to each other, and now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy your Sunday roast. Or your jollof rice, or your curry, or whatever that may be.